Good morning, everyone. I hope you're enjoying your Labor Day weekend, and it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. I guess there was no announcement said, so I guess read your bulletin. I think they're all in there. So, as we get started today, I always have to tell you, because I firmly believe and know, Matthew 10 and 20 tells me that I don't have to even worry about what I'm really going to say up here, because it's not really me, but the Holy Spirit will speak through me. And I've seen that time after time. Why me? I don't know. But that's what God chose. So He's got a word for us today. He's got a message for us today. And actually, I've kind of done this sermon before, and it's really just a testimony of my life. But somebody brought it up last month at the men's breakfast, and it's been like 2 or 3 years ago. And somebody was talking in response to that, and I thought, hey, somebody listened to me, which is kind of unusual. So, at least at my house. Okay, but in 1997, I went to prison. Not for anything really big, which was amazing for all the things I'd done in my life. And really, the prison didn't scare me. I wasn't afraid of the prison, even though I should have been, because as this is God's house, that's Satan's house. And you'll find every kind of evil that there is in this world there. But I found Jesus Christ, because He was there too. And He transformed my life. The minute that I said that I give up, that I had screwed up my whole life, and I want to try it your way. So I done 3 years, and I spent 8 hours a day in the Bible, and I was with other Christian people. But when it come time to get out, I was scared. Afraid to go back to what I knew, which was drugs, alcohol, and anything else illegal. I was scared. So God, knowing a simple man that I am, said, Charlie, I want to make this simple for you. And He gave me 3 words. Said, apply them to your life. Read and understand everything about these 3 little words. So today, it would end up being 9 words. And it's how to be a Christian in the simple, easy form of what I understand. And He gave me this scripture, and it comes from out of the love chapter of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 13. If you have your Bibles, if you don't, you might find one in front of you. We're not going to have any of the scriptures up there. You're just going to have to trust me or look in your Bible. So in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, God gave me these 3 words. And it says, and now these 3 remain. Faith, hope, love, but the greatest of these is love. So what we're going to kind of do today is just go back through those 3 little words that God gave me to try to understand, to apply to my life. And the first one being faith. I brought a couple of examples out of the Bible with me, and it comes from out of Matthew chapter 9. And it talks something about faith. And I hope you pay attention to this because you could easily go over it. I'm sure probably a lot of you are familiar with the woman with the issue of blood. How she had bled for 12 years. But she believed and had faith. She had faith that if she just touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she'd be healed. All she had to do was touch his garment, and she'd be healed. And listen to what Jesus says to her. In 22, and Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. That's what he told the woman. Your faith has healed you. Pretty big, isn't it? And then after Jesus had raised a little girl from the dead, and he went on, and it gets down to another example in 27. And there was two blind men that had followed Jesus from the place where he raised the little girl from the dead. And they knew without a doubt in their mind that Jesus could heal them. So they pursued him. They followed him. They went after him. And I want to read. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. And when he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and said, he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, he replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let this be done. Do you notice that the blind men went after Jesus, that they pursued him, that they wanted to be healed so much and believed that he could do this, they were willing to go after him. That's faith. Then we come into the hope. And our hope is in Jesus Christ. If it's not in Jesus Christ, then you're going down the wrong road. Hope. In Romans 12:12, it says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and practice hospitality. We have a hope. In John 14, 1 through 3, it says, don't let your heart be troubled. That I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. That's my hope. I have nothing else to hope for. And why would I? If I would die today, my hope starts with my life today and for eternity in heaven with Jesus. He tells me, he goes and prepares a place for me as he does you. We have a hope. And I'm so glad I have the hope in Jesus. Because before I had no life. Now I have life through my hope in Jesus Christ. And then when it comes to love, we all know God's love for us. John 3:16, it says, for God so loved Charlie Alcorn that he gave his son. And that if I would believe in him, I would have everlasting life. I might have put the I in there myself. But it's an attitude to have. I know he loves you too, but he favors me. I'm like his favorite child. But that's the attitude we should have with God. He loves us. Let me turn my Bible over here a minute. I love Jesus where it says in John 4:19, I love Jesus because he first loved me. When I was unlovable, when I was no good, Jesus loved me. He cared enough about me to pick me up out of the dirt, dust me off, and make me his heavenly child. That no matter what anybody says on this earth, Jesus tells me that I'm a child of him. He is love. God is love. How can we have anything else, any hate, anything else in our hearts if the love of God lives in us? How can we? If you are, you're living a lie. And it's time to wake up. I think the church has been sleeping for a little bit. It's time to wake up. Every day we should be adjusting, renewing our relationship with Jesus Christ. I get up every morning and I say to myself, today I'm going to serve God. Today. Not however bad I messed up yesterday, but every day you can get up and say, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to serve you. Help me. Help me. Help me with my unbeliefs. Help me to show your love. Because we're just an extension of Jesus Christ. When we show love to others, that's Jesus. That's not you. That's Jesus. And how big and important that really is. After I started getting a hold of those three words, faith, hope, and love, God told me there was more. Three more little words. Mercy, grace, and the big one, forgiveness. Sounds pretty simple, don't it? I know that some of my first encounters with mercies, as maybe some of you have, it was not maybe from God, but from my mama. Had you ever been out and done anything? And she said, boy, you better wait till you get home. And you spend all that time wondering how bad you're going to get a whooping to get home. And you have a good little talk, and you don't get that weapon that you deserve. And you're like, hey, this is good. It's the same way with God. He doesn't give us what we deserve. And we're all no good, and we deserve hell. We deserve hell. But he gives us love. A little bit about mercies comes from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. And he tells us, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgression. He loved me way before I loved him, as he does you. So then we get into the graces of God. It tells us again there in Ephesians chapter 2, 8. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. There's that word faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us. It says we don't have to do anything other than believe. We don't have to do good works, but we're created for that. And if you're not doing that, you're just going totally against what God has planned for you. We can't do anything to earn heaven, but we can show love and mercy and grace to the people around us. Am I making sense this morning? Okay, good. So, grace and mercy in our life is a big deal. It's a big thing. We have to have faith. We have that hope in Jesus Christ. And we have his love. His spirit lives in us. We so oftentimes try to drown it down with the things of this world, because we think we want to belong. We want to be just like them. And it's that way in a lot of the churches today. We want to be like the world, but we're not. We're not. We're children of God. So if you got faith, hope, and love, and you mix in that mercy and grace, stir all that together, there's one more: forgiveness. One of the toughest ones. Because we get beat up by people. We want to hold a grudge. We want to be unforgiving. Can't let it go. I remember what they done to me. Forgiveness. In Matthew again, 5:43-46. I'll go ahead and read down. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor." That's one of our greatest commands, love your neighbor. "And hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of the Father in heaven." If you're not forgiving, God's not going to forgive you. And I don't know about you, but I did a lot that needs forgiveness. Lot. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward is that? Not even the tax collectors doing that. And if you greet only your own people, then what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do this? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And I know that we can't be perfect, but we can try. You're allowed to make mistakes as long as you keep trying. Forgiveness. In Matthew 10 and 36, it talks about in the last days. Sister will be against sister. Mother against daughter. And all those in between. That's called Satan. God from the beginning wanted us all to be family. Every one of us. All family. So that's Satan's attack. Even to this very day, he attacks the family. And it says there, those in those last days, a man's enemies will come from the members of his own household. And you see it that so much today. Families don't even want to have anything to do with any of them. It's like that in my family. They still think I'm no good. Even though I've been a Christian for over 25 years, I'm no good. And I'm good with that. The only thing that bothers me about that is they claim to be Christians. They claim to be Christians and treat not just their family, but other people that way. I'm better than you. You're no good. And even when it goes to our own cliques, and we all have our own little cliques, and that's what he's talking about. If we just love those, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with having a little, we all have those. We all have our close little friends within our families. It's okay. But to treat other people that's not in your clique without love, mercy, and grace, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. So, we've got six words in now, right? Faith, hope, and love. Mercy, grace, forgiveness. This is the condensed package of being a Christian. The simple version. But guess what happens when you put faith, hope, and love in your life? And you add mercy, grace, and forgiveness. Guess what comes? Peace, joy, and happiness. In John 14, 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives you, but as He gives you that peace." That no matter what's going on in your life, the hardship, the trials, whatever it might be, you can still hold on to the peace of God. And it's awesome. It's awesome. Do you have the peace of God in your life? If you don't, back up and make sure it's packed full of love. May it's packed full of joy. I mean, mercy and grace. And our hope. That even though while we're on this earth, while we're waiting to go to heaven, in Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord says, "I have good plans for you." plans to prosper you, not to harm you. He wants you to have things here on this earth. He wants you to have the joy and the peace and the happiness that you'll find serving God. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Joy, in 1 Peter 1:8, it says, unexpressible love, unexpressible joy. I mean, excuse me. We should have unexplainable joy. Why are you so happy? Why do you have joy? Because my hope's in Jesus Christ. My faith is in Him. Do we have that happiness in our life? In Genesis 1:27, it says, we are made in the image of God. In the image of God, we are created, man and woman, male and female. We're in His image. And if you're not serving God, there's no way that you're going to have peace, joy, or happiness. Because we're designed and created in God's image. And that image is love. Does that make sense? You're not going to find happiness in this world. You can try to find a few things that might keep you occupied for a little while, but they end in disaster. True happiness is serving God, loving people, no matter what they do to you, no matter what they look like or what they do, we have to love them. We have to. If not, I hope you don't find on that day when the Lord calls us home that He says, depart from me, for I never knew you. A lot of Christians are going to be tricked. And He's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me. That's not what I want to hear. I want to be one of those that says, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. That's what I want to hear from the Lord. The church has been battling a lot. Not just this church, but every church. Satan's pouring it on. But he's defeated. And it's up to us to not only remind him, but to remind ourselves that the battle's already done. All we have to do is finish the race. We don't even have to come in first. We just have to finish. Look at your life today. Take a few minutes while you're coming back up. Song? Yeah. Take the time to think about where you're going, where you're going to spend your eternity. Or if you're struggling here on this earth, whether it be with drug addiction, alcohol, any other things that the world has to offer you, if you seek after Jesus like the blind man did, you'll be healed. You'll be healed. I want to ask you to come pray with me today. pray for our family here in this church, for the struggles that we have, whether it be financially or spiritually. I know in this hot weather we always see, I hear people say, make sure you stay hydrated. It's going to be hot. Make sure you drink a lot of water. Jesus tells us that He's the living water. And if you come and drink, you will never thirst again. Would you come with me today? Thank you.